Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report. And joining us today is Frontier Extension District Crop Production and Farm Management Agent Ryan Schaub. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
Oh, crop production. There is one crop that nobody likes except the rats, and that makes it kind of scary, but it's musk thistles. Yay, the pointy things.
And see, I sometimes come on here to teach you guys things, but I learned that. I didn't know that rats ate musk thistles. So
they like the flowers, that's for sure. And so that's kind of disturbing when you think about just how big a barn rat can get, and you think about those thistles out there uncontrolled. And on top of that, there's a pretty massive fine for not controlling your thistles.
Yes.
So, how do we go about keeping these things under control?
Well, like you said, there could be fines, and that's because musk thistles are one of 12 noxious weeds that we have in the state of Kansas. I found it very astonishing that almost a half million acres are infested with musk thistle in the state of Kansas alone.
Yeah.
And that's probably because, like, unlike some of our other noxious weeds that we have in the state, this noxious weed can be found in nearly every county. So it just has that ability to cover more area, mainly going to infest pastures or rangelands, roadsides. Those areas are where we're going to find a lot of our musk thistles. And under the new noxious weed law, this took effect in March of 2021, musk thistles are considered a Category C weed. Basically, this means that musk thistles are already well established within the state and have an extensive population and must be controlled. So let's talk a little bit about their life cycle. Musk thistles primarily are a biennial plant, but they can also become like a winter annual species as well. So biannual meaning it takes two growing seasons for them to complete their life cycle. So they'll germinate in like the spring, and then they'll stay in a rosette form all year until the following spring, where they'll go ahead and bolt and send up their flowers. Winter annuals would be they germinate in the fall and spend just the fall and winter in their rosette stage, and then they bolt again in the spring. So a little difference there, but basically going to be in the rosette stage for that one fall at least, and then the following spring we'll go ahead and bolt. When they bolt, that's when people typically notice them. They have a very pretty K-State flower. They're very purple. Actually, when we start seeing those flowers, that's when they become very difficult to control. The easiest time to control them is when they're kind of hiding from us, and they're in that rosette stage. Similar to like a dandelion in a lawn, when they're in their rosette stage, that's much easier to control them. After they bolt in the spring, dandelions, they can be a real bear to kind of control. So
they're easier to find, though.
Oh, much easier to find. So control efforts should really be aimed at reducing or eliminating new populations. We can do this with mechanical methods, which would be like mowing and digging those plants out. Repetitive mowings, I should say, and then digging those plants out. You could go with some biological control, but if you do that in the state, you have to have a permit, and then there's other issues. So like weevils can be brought in to just put them out there, and they will feed on the musk thistle flowers. But since the control measures are not very good, you know, you can't dictate where those weevils are going. That's an issue. The other issue is can't take weevils across state lines, and weevils will get into other crops and things like that. So we could cause potentially other issues there rather than be all helpful.
Yeah, that sounds as bad as bringing in a herd of rats to control them. Ugh, bad idea.
So there are some ways there biologically that we can kind of manipulate some of that or help control them, but you have to have a permit, and then you also have to be using other methods as well. The last option is chemical control. There's a list of different chemicals we can use, but like studies in Kansas show that an application of 2,4-D low-vol ester, it will give us like 80% control in the fall compared to 2,4-D amine. So it's just the formulations that a bit different, but that amine product only gave us 49% control. So, again, knowing which products we're going to get the best control measures with are going to be very important. But other herbicides we can use is dicamba, milestone, chaparral, escort, and Toradon 22K. So those herbicides are the things we can use. And I highly recommend spraying. If you're going to spray with a herbicide, I'd say do it in the fall. So again, these plants are still in their rosette stage. And I would actually encourage you to do it after we've had a killing frost. So we've had some cold temperatures this week. We can, everything else then is going dormant. Okay, so if we're in a rangeland and we've got some native forbs, we're not going to be damaging those, at least with 2,4-D and some of those other products. But we just make sure that we're just spraying what we're after at that time period. So nothing else is just actively growing. As long as that rosette has a little bit of green to it, let's just say 50% still green, because we still want them then to be actively growing, sending nutrients up and down, we're going to be able to get those controlled with herbicides. There are some herbicides, so the Toradon and Milestone, they will have some carryover effect. So they will kill this spring or this fall, but they'll also have some residual in the soil to help control some emerging seedlings early next spring as well. So if you've got a real bad infestation, that may be a product that we want to look at using. Other than that, guys, if you have questions, please give me a call. The office number is 785-448-6826. And one last little tidbit there I'll give you is if you can select a day where it's 50-ish degrees and sunny, we'll get much better control again. If it's kind of overcast and cloudy, those plants aren't growing as well at that point, not actively moving nutrients up and down, and we just won't get that control. So 50-ish degree and sunny, and you should have good luck. So.
Good luck finding a 50-ish and sunny day right now, but yes. And there's also my preferred method for taking care of thistles if you've got smaller amount of acreage. Uh-huh. A canvas bag and an axe.
Yes.
You swing that axe, get it right below the root line, chop, shove it in the bag, haul it off, and burn that sucker.
Yeah. That would fall into that mechanical where either repetitive mowing or you can dig them out. Or, like you said, a hoe. There's also ways we can mechanically just go and harvest the seed head. So they're bolted. We don't maybe need to spray those because they're already bolted. They're not coming back next year. So if you can pluck those purple flowers off before they turn white and start sending off like the dandelion looking seeds, we can pluck those off, put them into a bag, and then just go and dispose of those and burn those.
Torch that bag.
Don't just throw them in, take them to the landfill. That's not going to work.
Don't put them in your compost heap. That's right. Trust me. So. All right. Well, all good advice, and I think pretty much everybody who's ever come across one really hates musk thistles. So I know this is going to be put to good use. So thank you very much for coming in. We always appreciate the advice.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We'll see you next time. Coming up Monday morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Director and Family and Community Wellness Agent Rebecca McFarland.